Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
We're opening our Bibles tonight, beloved saints. We're opening our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. And we have been speaking to you, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. We've been speaking to you about the power and the miraculous power, beloved saints, of a rhema word. And tonight we're going to be continuing in that theme and in that subject, rhema word. Would you say this with me? I'm ready to receive my rhema tonight. And we have spoken to you over the last few days about the miracle of a rhema. Let me just explain it to you. First of all, there are two words in the New Testament that refer to the word of God. One of the words in the New Testament is the word in Greek, logos. Can you say that with me? The logos. The logos is the most understood, usually the most frequently used and most frequently referenced form of the word of God. It means the thought of God's word. It generally refers to the written word. It generally refers to the process of evaluating God's word and thinking God's word, meditating on God's word, the logos. And the logos is the expression of God's word. And it's the actual visible expression of God's word. Jesus Christ is the logos. He is the eternal word. And so we've heard about the logos, many of us, for years. But there is also another word that's in reference to the word of God. And that is the word rhema. Would you say that with me? Rhema. A rhema is a spoken word, the Hebrew equivalent of the word devar. Say it with me, the word devar. And so tonight I'm going to speak to you about how to receive your rhema and the power, the miraculous manifestation of a rhema in your life. Because a rhema is going to bring you a miracle. A rhema is going to change your life. Are you with me, saints? Hallelujah. Let's begin, first of all. We're going to speak that a rhema is oftentimes referred to in the Hebrew scriptures as a promise. It's the Hebrew equivalent to devar. Say it with me. The Hebrew equivalent to devar. Devar is the spoken word. Say it with me. A rhema is a spoken word. And devar in Hebrew is a spoken word. Let us look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. And I want us to see, dear saints of God, what happens in this Hebrew equivalent. Let us look at it. The Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. There hath not failed one of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hands of Moses, his servant." Now, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to place in this particular verse, we see the word devar used four times. I said we see the word devar used four times. If this was the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, we would see the word rhema used four times. So in order to understand what a rhema is, I'm going to show you first from the Hebrew scriptures what a devar is, because it's the same thing as a rhema. Rhema is the New Testament Greek version, and the Hebrew scriptures, I want you to understand, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was originally written in Greek. Say it with me. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, And the New Testament was written in Greek. I know everybody knows that, but just in case there's somebody new, I want to be sure that we understand that. Notice, blessed be the Lord that has given rest to his people Israel according to all he has, Devarim. Set with me. Promised is the same as Devar and as Rhema. So say this with me. The attributes of a Rhema is a promise. So that means when God speaks a Rhema word to me, he is also giving me a promise. It's a promise that won't fail. I don't know about you, but I need some promises in my life. I want God to activate his word. Hallelujah. How about you, saints? Hallelujah. Now watch this. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one Rhema. There has not failed one Devar. In Hebrew, it's Devar. So there has not failed one Devar, but it would be Rhema in Greek. Are you following me? There has not failed one word of his good promise. And again, promise is the word Devar or Rhema. And it says, which he has promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So we see one of the most powerful, personal, powerful, prophetic meanings of a rhema is when you receive a rhema by the word of God, it's a promise. Say it with me. When I receive a rhema from the word of God, it's a personal promise. How many people here tonight need a personal promise activated in your life? Would you say, I need my mountain moved, and I need to speak to my mountain. I need a rhema miracle tonight. All right, may I share with you one of the times I received a rhema? All right, I shared with you on Wednesday night, first time I ever got a rhema. All right, that was in the year of 1977. The first time I ever received a rhema. But I also got a rhema in 1980. All right? I'll tell you why this rhema was so precious, because I never forget it. All right? It was, I don't remember the month, but I surely remember the year. And the reason I remember the year is what I was wearing, because Papa had bought my mother and I twin outfits. And I wore one, Mama wore one, and it was a blue and white outfit. Every time Papa would buy me something, he'd buy my mom something. Hallelujah, glory to God. We just want to give God praise. And so Mama had an outfit, and I had the matching one. We used to always wear matching when we, because Mama helped me in the early years of my ministry. Such a woman of God. Can we just give my mother's memory a big God bless you? Because my mother trod the whole globe for the glory of God. And so I remember we had just gotten back from the Philippines. And I remember sitting on the stage of this massive conference. And I can't remember if I spoke. I don't know what I was doing, because I had my mind on something else. I had my mind, when I was up on that stage, just reminiscing of coming back from the Philippines, and I was talking to the Lord in my seat. And I was saying, Lord Jesus, I just want every single day of my life, because I had just gotten back from the Philippines, every single day was ministry. If you know it was 1980, this means I just started Breath of the Spirit. All right, I'd only been, this ministry was only 2 years old, maybe a year and a half. And so the Lord had opened the door in the Philippines for every single day ministry. It was so much ministry. We were exhausted. It was like 3 services a day in different places all throughout Manila, Metro Manila, and Quezon City. That's a big place. And I came back, and I was sitting there because the power of God was so strong in the Philippines. And I was saying, Jesus, please, I'm sitting here. I don't want to go back to just no ministry once in a while, like once a week, once every 2 weeks, once. I had just started. I don't want to do that, Lord. I want every single day, all day long. Oh my goodness. Touch your neighbor and say, be careful what you ask. Come on. Be careful what you ask. Touch your neighbor and say, be very careful what you ask. Because he will give it to you. I said, Lord, I want to be so busy for you that every single day of my life, there's nothing left, that everything is poured out for you, Lord. And I said, that anointing in the Philippines was so glorious. Please don't take it. And you know, there was a man of God on the platform. His name was Dick Mills. Some of you probably never heard of Dick Mills. He was a very, very distinguished man of God in the 1970s, in the 1980s. He was a frequent visitor of Full Gospel Businessmen. He was a very well-distinguished man of God that always just gave you a rhema word. His prophetic ministry was always scripture. And so I was sitting on the stage talking to the Lord. And I guess the Lord just quickened him at that moment because he was ministering. And he turned around suddenly and he said, young lady, I have two words from the Lord for you. And I thought, wow, praise God. He said, two scriptures. He said, the Lord told me you're going to start having 18-hour days. Now, this is reality. He said, the Lord told me you're going to have 18-hour days. And he said, you have two scriptures that God is giving you to claim when your body is exhausted. And he said, one, traveling in the greatness of his strength. And the other, hallelujah, one traveling in the greatness of his strength, and the other, hallelujah, that he is strengthening thee. There was a strength calling upon him, traveling in the greatness of his strength, and the strength that he has promised unto you. And so I claimed those scriptures. And do you know, for over 40 years, I have... For over 40 years, every time I've been weary, every time I've been exhausted, every time I didn't think I could make it, every time it was difficult to even put my legs over the bed to get out and to walk and to breathe, I claim those scriptures and they came to life. Are you hearing me? Because God is faithful. It's a rhema. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you need a rhema tonight? God will give you one. You see, that rhema came from another person, and I share it with those of you who are in this place. Hallelujah. I shared what happened to me in 1977 when I needed to know, was it God's will to go to the Holy Land? You see, this is how God taught me how to preach. No, it wasn't just from taking homiletics in school. Yes, you know, at MST, they used to have you take this class called homiletics, and the pastor would, or whoever the trainer was, would, whoever the teacher was, you have to get up there and give a 20-minute sermon, and you'd get graded on it. And, you know, they get graded on your stance, how you spoke, what you said, how many scriptures you used. I mean, that's what they did, okay? Homiletics. No, but homiletics didn't teach me how to preach. Okay. And learning biblical hermeneutics didn't even teach me how to preach. That just teach me how to explain what the Lord was teaching. I learned from the woman of God that trained me that you never preach from a file. As a matter of fact, if she knew I was using notes, she'd probably be very upset. Because the woman of God that trained me said you have to have a rhema in your mouth every time you go in front. You can never speak what you want. You have to get what the Holy Ghost wants. And I remember this woman of God, she would, all she would do before she got to the pulpit was just sit in the presence of the Lord for a few moments and get her word, and that was it. She'd just go off for however long it took, and the anointing was so heavy you couldn't even stand. I'm telling you the truth. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So therefore, how do you combine using the word and all of the techniques of studying the word with really getting a rhema? Okay, it means that it began for me, and I don't know why God's having me say this, because there are many of you in this room tonight, so you can learn what the Lord is doing. Oftentimes it began with getting a rhema in my personal life with the testimony that I shared on Wednesday night about going to the Holy Land. And God gave me the exact word after praying over the Bible. But I want you to understand how this also works with preaching. You don't just pick out a subject. It has to be the Spirit of God who gives to you a rhema when you pick this Bible up and you say, what do you want to be spoken tonight, Lord Jesus? And the Bible, you pray over it and it opens, and then he begins to give you piece by piece the puzzle and put it together prophetically, so it doesn't come from you, it comes from man. And sometimes it takes so long to get that word because there's spirits that block it, or there's things that come. That's why you have to stay in the state of a consecrated life, so that you constantly get that word, piece by piece, step by step, and he pieces it together. And so often I can remember times it didn't make any sense at all. You have to have prayer. You have to be able to know how to pull the prophetic word out of heaven. Are you following me? I'm giving somebody some personal instruction that is going to change your life tonight. I hope you're hearing me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm being trained for the deep things of God. I'm being trained to hear the voice of God. I'm being trained to get my rhema tonight. Oh, God. Okay, the Holy Ghost just told me. I'm going to lay hands on everybody's Bible tonight. Oh, and I'm going to get some oil. And I hope you brought your Bible and not your phone, because I'm not going to anoint your phone. I'm going to anoint your Bible. But if you don't have your Bible with you, I'll anoint your head. Okay? But hopefully you brought your Bible to take notes so I can anoint your Bible tonight to receive the word of the living God when you open it. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Annie's not here tonight, but she knew Sister Edith. And my sister, of course, knew Sister Edith. She called herself Sister because she wanted to be open to everybody. She was a wonderful woman of God who worked with Catherine Kuhlman. And sometimes when she opened her mouth, the power of God would be so strong that she had to be held up. Or she'd go under the power when she was preaching. It's really the truth. All right, so I want to show you that your rhema word is a promise. Say it with me. My rhema word that I'm going to start receiving tonight. Oh, my God, in the name of Jesus, not one of you, not one is not going to get a rhema word on your word when you open it. Everything you need is in that word. That's why you need your Bible. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need my Bible. Your phone is just a reference, but your Bible is your treasure. Are you hearing this? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so here we see the attributes of a rhema. Hallelujah. Now, beloved saints, the very first attribute of a rhema tonight that we are going to look at is that a rhema, dear child of God, is a miraculous manifestation that happens through activation. Say it with me. A rhema is a miraculous manifestation that happens through activation. That means you have to act on your rhema. You have to act on it. It's not just something for you to hold in your heart. It's something for you. It's something for you to take action on. Go with me to John chapter 2. And let's look at John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, beloved saints, we are going to look at what the text teaches about a rhema that became a reality. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, I can't wait to activate the word that the Lord is speaking into my heart. John chapter 2, looking at verse 1. And the key is going to be found in verse 5. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever he says to you, do it. Okay, say, what he says involves action. Say, whatever he says to you, you're on an assignment to do it. The moment he tells you to do it, turn to your neighbor and say, don't procrastinate it. Do it when he tells you. Hallelujah. Whatever he says unto you, do it. That means your word has to be put into action. Are you hearing me? Oh, my goodness. It's not there for you to ponder upon and look on and just say, praise the Lord. It's for you to act on it. Notice, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Verse 2. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Verse 3. And, hallelujah, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Notice she didn't say, would you please perform a miracle? She already knew how he was. She already knew that if there was a need, that once he knew of the need, he would take care of it. Are you hearing me? That's confidence. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want that kind of confidence. Say, I want the kind of confidence that I don't even have to ask. All I have to do is tell the Lord, hallelujah, what I'm going through, and I know he knows already all about it, and he's going to take care of it. She said, they have no wine. They have no more wine. Now, this was something that was extremely important to the Jewish people of the first century, because it was needed not for the purposes of carousing. It was needed for the seven blessings in a wedding. They had seven blessings, barachot, in every wedding. And to not have the wine for a bracha in a Jewish tradition would have been completely humiliating. And how she knew they had no wine is she must have been close to the, because she was there before Jesus got there, so she must have been close to the people in Cana. They must have been her dear friends. And somehow she knew they're running out of wine and there needs to be something done. Maybe it could very well be that the people who knew there was no wine told her so she could make some suggestions to Jesus without telling him. Say this with me, holy suggestions. Do you ever get a holy suggestion from heaven? That's God speaking to you without him having to tell you. Holy suggestions are, let's say, for example, you see a child that's all tattered, a child that has a runny nose, all tattered, and you just look at that child. That's a holy suggestion. What you gonna do about it? Are you following me? Sometimes you see somebody, they need help across the street. And you want to stop your car, but you don't. And there's a wonderful opportunity. There's a parking space right there. Holy suggestion. Are you going to get out of the car, park it, and help that person across the street? or are you going to just drive on by? Holy suggestions. Hello, I said holy suggestions. All day long, there are holy suggestions coming from heaven to see what we're going to do about it. Because we have eyes to see and ears to hear. Are you hearing me, saints? In this case, a holy suggestion came to Jesus. They have no more wine. That's it. And Jesus said to her, "What do I have to do with you? Because my hour has not yet come." That is a tremendous mystery. Because all throughout the gospel, according to John, this is repeated over and over again. It's not just repeated here in John chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 6, but we also see it repeated in John chapter 7, "My hour has not yet come." And we also see it repeated in John chapter 8, verse 20, "My time has not yet come." And then we know in John chapter 12, after the anointing at Bethany, he said, "Father, the hour has come." Something to do with the passion of Christ. It had to do with that suggestion. And so immediately she knew. I mentioned it to him. I know he is so filled with compassion, he'll not allow this couple to be in a place of humiliation at the Braha. And so immediately she gets the servants ready, because if he tells them to fill up the pots with water and then he tells them to start drawing it out and giving it to the governor of the feast. What is the governor of the feast? The governor is the one that is the coordinator of all the brahas. So you're going to have to pull out of the water pot, and you haven't seen the water that has become the wine yet. You cannot see it. But now you're being told something in advance, so that you're not going to use your logical mind when you are told by him what to do. Because he's going to tell you something you're not going to understand. Because you know, as sure as you're there, that there's no water that can turn into wine. And there's no wine left. And you know as sure as you're there that if you draw it out and it's water and you hand it to the governor of the feast, you have just mocked that family. Hello, are you there? So the words were given ahead of time. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do you know how often a rhema word does not make sense? Do you know how often when God says to you, I will tell you something, even this week, I had made up my mind on something because the situation was impossible. And I told the Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, but this is impossible. So I thought, this must be what you want me to do, Lord. So I had to go to a rhema word. I said, Lord, this must be what you want me to do, what I was thinking in my mind. Because there was no way out except the way I tried to figure it out. But I wanted to be sure what I was figuring out was the will of God. And guess what? It was not the will of God. Because God had another answer. Are you hearing me? Have you ever figured something out and was so determined that what you thought was the way God wanted it to be? Turn to your neighbor and say, check it out and make sure you get a rhema first. Come on. Tell your neighbor, check it out. And make sure you get a rhema first, before you make that decision. Well, I was in my prayer closet. My prayer closet is my chapel in my house. And it was around 4 o'clock in the morning. My Bible was right there. I said, this is the only thing I can do. Open the Bible, and it was the Red Sea. And the Bible says, at the Red Sea, the Lord said, go forward. And I said, Lord, are you telling me to go forward? Like this? And I said, Lord, are you sure this is what you want? Is this not something I really need this rhema? The first thing I got before I went to the Red Sea was I got the cherubims. Guess what? The Bible says they didn't turn when they turned not when they went, but they went straight forward. That's the only way in the realm of the spirit that you move. You never go backwards, you only go forwards. And you got to know that if you're going backwards, you're out of the will of God. Hello, somebody, are you with me? So I looked forward, and then I went again forward at the Red Sea. So all of a sudden, I was happy. I was so happy. Even though my situation had not changed, I was so happy because God gave me a rhema. And so therefore, I had total peace. Nothing could rob me. Are you following me? Oh, my goodness. I knew if God told me to go forward that he was going to take care of everything. Do you know within 24 hours, the situation was so miraculously turned around? Oh, my God. It was such a surprise. Oh, God, I want to give God the praise and give him the glory because a rhema will never fail you. Do you hear it? Somebody ought to turn to their neighbor and say, a rhema will never fail you. See, I had to act on the word God gave me. So the action of faith was, that's it. I'm just going to go forward. I'm just acting like nothing has happened. I'm going forward in full faith. Believe in God. That's the action. You have to put some action to the word of the living God. You don't have to see it. You just start acting on it. Are you hearing me? Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Say this with me, faith for the impossible. Oh, glory to God. And so watch this, what happened at the wedding in Cana. The Bible says, verse 5, and his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And there were set water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three for kins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Hallelujah. And they filled them to the brim. And then Jesus said to them, now notice, Jesus didn't say fill them with wine. He said fill them with water. And praise God. And the Bible says, and he saith unto them, fill up the water pots with water, and he filled them to the brim. Verse 8, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. That is what did not make sense. They already knew it was only filled with water. But now, if it had not been for an instruction, do whatever he tells you. If they're going to draw out water and give to the governor of the feast, it doesn't make any sense because now you are going to humiliate that couple because all there is water. Are you following me, saints? But they were already instructed. They were already instructed. Act on the word. Do it exactly the way he tells you to do it, even if it doesn't make sense. Do it exactly as he tells you to do it, even if it goes against your natural mind. Do it exactly the way he said. Are you hearing me, saints? If you do, say amen. Oh, somebody ought to shout the victory. Somebody ought to give God the glory. Oh my goodness. This is something, even I see my grandson back there. He's up on the, I'm sorry, JoJo, I can't resist. Because I'm going to tell something. My grandchildren, every time they need a miracle, they get their Bible. And they say, Grandma, we have to ask the Lord, what is the Lord saying about this? What scripture has God given you? How many times have they opened the Bible and God's given them exactly the scripture they needed for that moment? Are you following me? If you are, say amen. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody ought to depend on God. Somebody ought to say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And we give God the glory and we give God the praise. Now we see, dear child of God, the second attribute of a rhema word. The rhema word, hallelujah, is a miraculous manifestation of the activation. You have to act on it. Say it with me, miraculous manifestation by activation. Say, I have to do what they did. I have to draw the water out. If God says to do it, and we know it's water, if God says to do it, I got to do it. Hallelujah. If I know, I watched with my own eyes. I filled up the pots with water, but if he tells me to draw it out and give it to the governor, I'm going to do it exactly the way he said. Are you hearing me? Miraculous manifestation through activation. Say it. Hallelujah. And the second powerful principle of a rhema is a revelation in your impossible situation. Say it with me. God is going to give me a revelation for my impossible situation. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Oh, glory to God. Nothing is impossible with God. Say this with me. With God, nothing is impossible. Guess what? The word nothing translates in Greek to the word rhema. I said, the word nothing translates into the word rhema. So this means, hallelujah, it doesn't mean, hallelujah, that nothing is impossible, no rhema is possible. But what it means is that you and I must see, dear child of God, with nothing, with God, nothing is impossible. It literally translates with a rhema. A rhema makes nothing impossible with God. Somebody ought to say, a rhema makes nothing impossible with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, a rhema makes nothing impossible with God. Let me explain that to you a little further. Go with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Oh, Jesus. Oh, precious Jesus, we want to give you glory. Precious Jesus, we want to give you praise. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. We're going up to verses 1 through 5, but I want you to focus on verse 5. And it came to pass in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Oh, what a tiresome night. Have you ever had a tiresome night? You're so weary. A night represents not just the time of day in a 24-hour period. In Hebrew, a night means a period in your life. A season, a night season, a time that is very dark, a time you don't know answers, and you're seeking for God for one. The fishermen were gone out of their nets. And the Bible says, hallelujah, in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Everything is filled with rhema there. He's speaking rhema. Rhema is coming out of the ship. Jesus is speaking. Can you imagine? Say this with me. Jesus, step into my world. Step into my ship and teach me. Teach me in this vessel. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done by my Father who is in heaven. Nothing is impossible when God gives you a rhema. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Most of the times in the New Testament when the word is used, it's logos. But very rarely, like in these occasions, rhema is used. Now watch. And when he had left speaking, oh my goodness, he was speaking rhema inside that ship. The ship became filled with the atmosphere of the spoken word. Oh, the whole sea became filled with the atmosphere of the spoken word. Now, the atmosphere of miracles is in the midst. Because the word is being spoken. Are you hearing this? Jesus said in verse 4, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught. And the Bible says in verse 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. This is completely against your logic. The same way the servants had to be warned ahead of time. Do whatever he tells you, and don't you hesitate on it. Turn to your neighbor and say, do whatever he tells you, and don't you hesitate on it one moment. Come on, do whatever he tells you. I don't care what he's telling you. You better do it. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Notice, at your rhema, I'm going to let down the net. And he immediately acted on the revealed word. He let down the net and watched this. And when they had done this, touch your neighbor and say, the doing dynamic of faith. Come on, the doing dynamic of faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, turn your faith loose. The doing dynamic of faith. That means to act when God says to do it. Even if you can't see it, do it. Even if you can't understand it, do it. Do what God tells you to do.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.